So several weeks ago, we began to discuss some of the halachas of Birchas Kohanim. We mentioned a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says, "Mitzvas Kohanim, Birchas Kohanim, Chaviva hi Adonai." And the Gemara says, "Minayin shehaKadosh Baruch Hu misaver leBirchas Kohanim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very desirous of Birchas Kohanim. Shenemar, v'savu et shmi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem." The parsha that we just read yesterday on Shabbos, the parsha of Birchas Kohanim, and Rashi comments over there, and I've spoken about this Rashi in the past, a very striking, incredibly dramatic Rashi. Says Rashi, "De'en nesiyas hakayim tzorach Yisrael el tzorach hamokom." The one who's in need of nesiyas kapayim is not called Yisrael, but rather whom? Ribbono Shel Olam, Dov Niflamo. Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who's desirous of nesiyas kapayim. So I believe I said several weeks ago, in the name of Hagoyim, Rabbam Akoyim Pamzatzal, whom I was able to hear Shirim from for many years, from the age of 13 to about the age of 19, so on Fridays. So he explained this, Rashi, in light of the pasuk in Bereishis. The Torah says, regarding Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki Yidatev. Yidatev, the way the Rabban writes and Rishonim explain, the Shol Chiba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in love with Avraham Avinu. And the pasuk goes on to say, Leman, why? Asher Yitzaveh is Bona Bet Veser Acharav, V'shom V'derach Hashem, Lassus Dabba Mishpa. Why is Hashem in love with Avraham Avinu? Because he commands his children to follow the Darkei Hashem. And then the pasuk ends by saying, Leman Hovi Hashem Al Avraham, Mes Hashem Dibre Alav. In order that Hashem should carry out to Avraham that which he promised him. But the pasuk is very difficult. Avraham commands his children to follow the Derech Hashem. Why? In order that Hashem should fulfill to Avraham that which he promised to him. That sounds like Amanas and Kabbal Pras. Clearly a means to an end, the ultimate end being to receive a reward. Namely the reward that Hashem promised Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, the Rambam calls him the Oy of Hashem par excellence. The Rambam Perigud Hilch Tshuva. So much you thought that that Rambam, Ten Prokin, are connected to 10 days of Aseret Metshuva. First two prokim are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Last paragraph deals with Avas Hashem, is Yom Kippur, and the Rambam there tells us that who is the exemplar of Avas Hashem? Avraham Avinu. Everything he does is Shalom Nasa Kabbal Pras. And here the pasuk seems to be very much not in sync with that thesis, with that idea. So Rambam interpreted this in the following way. He said, you see that the Ratzon Hashem, he wants to be Mashpia Rocha to call himself. The whole tachas of the Bria, when Rabban writes in Chumash, Olam Chesed Yibane, in order to propagate Chesed. Hashem is the Baal Chesed par excellence. And by Avraham Avinu, the Oyev Hashem par excellence, he tells him, act in such a way where you'll be roared to be Makabal Bracha, and that's the Ratzon Hashem. Because the man of Hashem al Avraham is not a tzerech of Avraham Avinu. What does he tell his family? Don't do anything that will share the Ratzon Hashem. That will prevent the Ratzon Hashem from coming to fulfillment. That's exactly what Rashi means in Masechet Sota, that the Nesiyas Kapayim is not a tzerech for calling yourself, but it's a tzerech of Hashem. He himself wants to be Mashpia, brother to call yourself, and therefore that's the whole idea of Birchas Kohanim. Okay, that was just a bit of a hakdama. Now, to come to the halachas of Birchas Kohanim, some that we discussed several weeks ago, and now we'll continue along our very way. The mitzvah of the Nesiyas Kapayim, that a kohen has to raise his hands. So, of course, the Gemara says, this is well known, the Gemara has in Saita, that a kohen who refuses to duchin is over on three mitzvahs aseh. And the Gemara cites duchin. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah, that he quotes that Gemara. And of course, the Easter is only when the Kohen is summoned. That's when the Easter is operative. It means that the Kohen is called, and at what point is the calling critical? Ritzeh. That's how Chazal established We say Hashem Elokeinu is the point where the Kohen is called. And then if he does not ascend to the Duchen when he's called, he violates what I mentioned, these mitzvahs aseh. Now, if someone already said Bechas Kohanim, we have sitting in this room a Kohen who does it a number of times. Mechaz Ve'agodol. I don't know how else to describe it. The Kohen is only obligated to Duchen once a day. Not obligated to Duchen more than that. Maybe Duchen early in the day. He's not obligated to do it again, even if he's present. When the Kohanim are called, when they are summoned, Tosfos points out in Rosh Hashanah, Chafes, that there's no Issur of Al-Tosfos. And if an Amir Kohen can continue and Duchen any number of times. But the halacha is that only if a Kohen is summoned is there an obligation to Duchen. Namely, would say. And number two, once he has Duchen, that day, there's no longer any need to Duchen a second time. There's a Kohen actually in this neighborhood. I don't know if it's any of you, he goes around from shul to shul. I don't know if you know who it is. He's one of these tzaddikim.
Nobody else.
Now, if there's no one else, I'll get to that. Give me a few moments. More than a few. But anyway, the halacha is that in order to violate the aseh b'chas kohanim, there has to be a hazmana. The Kohen has to be summoned. And we already mentioned before the first Mishnah Brura, the first Bialach in Hilas Brichas Kohanim over here, in Simen Kuf Chav Ches, close to Sev Haredim, that just as there's a mitzvah of Livorech on the part of the Kohanim, there's a mitzvah on the part of Kohanim, so Lehis Barech. We are obligated, we Yisraelim, are obligated to be the recipient of a Brach. That's a famous Kiddush of the Sev Haredim. And if somebody even asked me the following question. This is asked to me already a while ago. Let's say a person has the choice of attending a shul, will he kriyas haTorah, but not Bichas Kohanim, or vice versa? Which one takes precedence? What should he do? Well, Rosh Hashanah has the question, Tzkiyas Shevet versus Tefillah B'Tzibur. We'll discuss that. But I'm asking the question regarding, assuming there are only two choices, kriyas haTorah in one shul, not Bichas Kohanim, and another shul, whatever reason, only Bechas Kohanim and Akriyas HaTorah, which takes precedence. The Lechora, this really is totally on the question that I just discussed. Namely, is the mitzvah only on the Kohen, that he's obligated to bless Klal Yisrael, to bench Klal Yisrael, or the Sefer HaRegel, the Bi'al Locha cites, there's also the mitzvah that he's Baruch. We are obligated to be the recipients of Abba. That's question one. Question two is whether, how do you view Bechas Kohanim? Have you viewed Kriyas HaTorah? Is it a Cheves Yochin? Is it a Cheves Tzibur? So generally speaking, we assume Kriyas HaTorah is a Cheves Tzibur. If there's a Tzibur of 10 people, there's an obligation to hear Kriyas HaTorah. It's a Mishnah Masech of Megillah. It's a Chiddush Ramban over there. And many Rishonim pass the halacha. The Brisk is based on the Vilna Gaon, a very machmir. They hold that Kriyas HaTorah is a Cheves Yochin. It's an obligation upon each individual. It's against Hesin Seder, against Hesin Pachos, against Rabbi Rishonim, him out against the Mishnah. Not against Ramban. But that's what the Brisk is maintained. So I, for example, have been in Chutzaretz a fair number of times where I missed a parsha. They were ahead here and there to sell, and I was behind. So what did I do? I did it at least three times, maybe four times. I did it in LA, I did it in Muncie, I did it in two other places. What I did was I gathered together a minyan of Jews, and I asked them if they're willing to listen to Kriyas HaTorah of a parsha that they basically already heard. So of course, essentially, they don't know what to say to me. To refuse me is not so comfortable. So I made it comfortable for them. In two cases, I sponsored a Kiddush. The other two cases, I sponsored a big Shal Shuvas. Today, while I was reading the Torah, they were busy, Baruch Hashem, being Mekayim Gedol Legim. They were behind. They were, no, I would have missed, I'm just trying to remember which way it went. I missed the Pasha, that's all I know. I missed the Pasha because of the doubling, the issue of the doubling of the Pasha. That's what happened. I don't recall that with the details. It was once in LA, luckily there was a Shira Sabak who was also there at the same time, so I went over to him, Harav Hirsch, and he's an American fellow. Anyway, so he was very much in favor of this Mahalach. As long as I was willing to take care of whatever financial obligations were involved with me in order to convince her to do it. And then in case of Muncie, it had to be my nephew. I was staying with my nephew in Muncie, and they also rearranged it. And the two other times, as I said, it was not a kiddush, but it was a shal shivus that I arranged, and that's what we were able to do. Because I'm my rabbi, I saw that he was of the opinion that it's an obligation upon the individual. This needs a separate discussion. That's not really for now. I'm just mentioning the Rechaka. The Mishnah says, the Mechaber at the Mishnah, it's the Gemara. The Gemara in Sfeita says that the Kohen has to wash his hands before Bechas Kohenim. And the Gemara calls the Pasuk, interesting enough, Pasuk Tehillim. My mother, Hashem, was very into this Pasuk. When she would wash her hands for Hamotzi, my mother would always say this Pasuk. Suri Dechav Kodesh, Uvarach Has Hashem. Pasuk Habis, Pasuk Hashem, Abdi, Nasisa, Tuvgecha. I don't know how many people do it today. Oh, Rabbi Weiss. Very few. I myself don't know. But the Gemara calls that Pasuk in the context of Kohenim, washing the hands. But the question is there a separate mitzvah that a Kohen is obligated to do Tehillat Yadayim before he blesses Kol Yisrael, before he engages the Birchas Kohanim? Or was it simply a kind of instruction for the Kohen to make sure that his hands are clean for the bracha? And the Machlokes Gemara between these two positions is whether a Kohen who washes his hands properly in the morning, as all of us do, before Shacharis, and he pays attention, he's not Masiach Das, to make sure that his hands don't become tummy. So now can you rely on that? And then we're not washing Bechas Kohanim. That's enough to me now. Whether, how you view this washing before Bechas Kohanim, is it, as I said, obligation that before Bechas Kohanim you have to wash your hands? No, it's simply a din that you have to make sure you're dying the kiosk. So the Kesa Mishnah, in his parish on the Rambam, Hilchos Tefila, which is in Hilchos Kapayim, which is a part of Hilchos Tefila, parish as well, so he writes over there very clearly that the Rambam believes only a Kohen who didn't wash his hands before Shabbos, or a Kohen who somehow, it was Eschatas, wasn't careful and his hands did not become Tamei, he has to wash before Bechas Kohen. Only he requires washing before Bechas Kohen. And he quotes actually over there the Kesa Mishnah. Just a bit of the weather. He quotes Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam, that his father, the Rambam Paskin, when asked that a Kohen should rely upon the early in the Tehillat Yadayim, which is done for Tefillah, etc. So, in effect, his father passed the law, and apparently, that was the custom in Egypt. That was the custom in Mitzrayim. Namely, there was Samech on the, this is in Beis Yosef, the tour, that there was Samech on the Tehillat Yadayim, now have to pass the law like that. Also, the Chabad Shulchan Aruch, but we don't generally assume that. I mean, it's interesting that Tosfos in Sota, where I saw on Daf Lamed Tes, he quotes actually Girsa, Rashi quotes his Rebbe, that a Kohen who washes his hands for Shabbos doesn't have to wash his hands against Bechas Kohanim. Not necessary, not required to wash Bechas Kohanim. But Tosfos rejects it. Tosfos says no, he has to wash his hands. And Rashi there does not mention his Rebbe's teaching, but he says the Kohen has to wash. So it happens that the Mechaber passes like the Rambam. There's no need to wash. As long as you're not Masiach Das, you're not Mitami Ayans, no need to wash. But as I said, that's not the way La Halacha we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch actually writes that that's the way Ashkenazim generally are knowing that we wash our hands prior to the, we means the Kohanim, wash our hands prior to Nesiyas Kapayim. And it's interesting that the Torah writes actually over here in Kol Chav Ches that the Kohen should say the bracha on the Tehillat Yadayim. When he washes his hands, he makes the bracha before he recites Bechas Kohanim. The Dakin Meshe says over there, as the Ramah, the Dakin Meshe is perishing the Torah. So he writes that according to the Rambam, the Tehillat Yadayim is not necessary at all. If you wash before Shachris, you don't have to require a bracha. But whatever the case is, undoubtedly, if the Kohen was with tummy in his hands of Masiach Das, then certainly he would decide a bracha according to this position. Mishnah Berurah calls Elio Rabba, says we don't make a bracha. That's the meaning of Ashkenazim, is not to make a bracha, and that is to die before Bechas Kohanim. Now, it could very well be that need for a bracha might be totally, and this machlokes the Rambam on the one hand, and Tosfos that I mentioned a moment ago. It's according to Rashi and Tosfos, that there's a mitzvah to wash one's hand before Bechas Kohanim on the part of the Kohanim. A bracha should be said. But according to the Rambam, it could be that you only have to make sure that your hands are on the kiosk. Your hands are clean. Therefore, there's no bracha necessary in that kind of situation. But whatever the case is, there are those who are medaktik, Well, Rabbi Rambam said this halacha, that since this Netilas Sadaim is based on the Netilas Sadaim that the Kohen did in the Beis HaMikdash, namely the Kiyum Kana, the Parsha Kisisa, it should be done with the Kli. And it should be a reverse of water, bought directly by a person, Kaf Gabra. We'll get to the Levium in a little while. But in extenuating circumstances, people offer the essence to me. Generally, I always carry a Kli in my car. I carry a number of things in my car, a Shas, a Rambam, a Kli, whatever is necessary in order to, in case one is stuck in the Sahara, I don't know, somewhere, or is Iceland in some desert area. The shadow often is, can I wash from the faucet, and can I use liquids other than water? So always be the ever, yes, I'll be this one. The need for a kli is only really mikra din in the morning. The person washes the shabrach ra, if he washed three times or four times after grow, which is my minig, I have many minig agra, the Vilna Gaon. So, but whatever the case is, a kli is not necessary any other time. However, whenever I wash my hands, I always use a kli. Always. Doesn't make a difference what situation, in the Betzavel, in the case of Yesedayim, Ramotzi, Yesedayim coming out of Beis HaKisei, whatever it may be, I'm always with the kli. That's another Bumra, Nami Kwan Mikradin. The Chabad Paskins, into how far must the Kohen wash his hands? He has to wash his hands until your wrist. And the Kohen is a Mikdash, that's a Gemara Kulin. That till your wrist, you have to wash your hands, even on your kippur. So again, the Halacha Shabru Paskin is very clearly over there that a Kohen should still wash his hands up to his wrist, even though the din is that, generally speaking, when we wash our hands, it's Isur Mechitza on the kippur. So only allowed to wash until the top of your fingers. But a Kohen should always wash, even on the kippur, that's on the Shabru Paskins, that till their wrist. I think the minhag seems to be, and that's what I've seen my whole life, that the Levian, who assisted there, I should call them the cousins, the Kohen and the Beis HaMikdash, so they wash their hands in the Kohen. What's the makar for that practice? This troubled me for decades. So if you look at the Beis Yosef, over here in Kufchav Ches, so I was in Kara Reitzel, who's translated, he said, I heard this was the practice in Spain, that the Levium would pour out the water on the hands of the Kohen. Below Yodati, Mokar was them. I don't know what the origin of this is. What's the Mokar? Levium washing the hands of Kohen. Ad Shechonan Osi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umatsasi B'Zoya HaKadosh. B'Zoya HaKadosh, Pashas Naso. That's the Mokar for Levium washing the hands of Kohen. Really important. The Mokar is a Zoya HaKadosh. By the way, just as a kind of aside, is very rare. Very few times do we find that the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch and the Chaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who was a giant of the Mekubal, a Kabbalist beyond belief. Very rare for the Chaber to quote anything of a Kabbalistic nature. That's a bit of a pella. He was the Mekubal par excellence. We know from the Magid, there's a Sefer called the Magid. I'm going to Avraham HaKohen Pam. He mentioned when I was 13 years old, I went and bought the Sefer in the Yad. And I discovered that Sefer is based on a Magid who appeared to the Beis Yosef. And even he's a Musa, all kinds of interesting things that I found. He has some beautiful Pshotim in Chumash and in Gemaras that the Beis Yosef heard from the Magid. But in the Shemalach itself, it's rare. There are those who actually have done a study on this. But in the Beis Yosef, right here, so he mentioned this idea that the makar for Levium washing hands of the Kohen is a Zoya, the Zoya Kodesh. But this is called the Shomar. He quotes it in Kufchav Ches in Zivvav. Mentions clearly that Abba Bishanot Lo Akohen Yedeim Shachris Chazin V'Neidim Yedeim Ad HaPerek Ba'Levi Yotzik Ma'im Al Yedeim. The Levi is the one who pours the water on their hands. Mishnah said there's no Levi, a Bechor is the one who does it. Du gam ken kodosh tzas. He has a bit of kedusha. Yimein b'chor, toi sheyit al kohen ba'atzma. Better than kohen should wash his own hands. Mishe yatzik Yisrael al yodom. I was once present when this took place. Actually, I never see any of this because I hold my feet together in Tzvonesa and Chazar Sashatz for the last 55 years. I haven't changed my position. That my Rebbe was not like that also. I saw Rebbe. But before he did that, I said, do that. My father Shem was not back then. He got it from somewhere. It wasn't a Talmud or something. Also, we keep our feet together in Chazar Hashem. The Eilu was a Shadin Shon Esrei. Our salvation was so machmir at the going, he didn't answer Baruch Hu B'Shmo. I do answer Baruch Hu B'Shmo because I don't want people to somehow discontinue that practice. And therefore, I do answer Baruch Hu B'Shmo. The going held was a hefsek. Baruch Hu B'Shmo Shon Esrei. And this Beka Adir, the Lashon HaRambam, that is not only on the salvation's dig, it's found elsewhere. Rabbi Sternberg Shlita also has a similar dig. The Rambam speaks about two different types of tefillah, tefillah bit tzibur and tefillah hat tzibur. Tefillah bit tzibur is when 1,000 of us daven Shon Esrei b'lachash, the silent Shon Esrei. And tefillah hat tzibur is when one natzi, one representative of the entire tzibur, represents the entire tzibur in saying over the Chazar HaShashat. So the Rambam seems to speak about two different types of tefillah. One is tefillah bin tzibur, one is tefillah hat tzibur, and there's a din Shon Esrei. So it's interesting that the Ramah writes over here that the custom is for the Levim to rely upon their washing before Shachris and not themselves to wash before they pour the water for the Kohen. But the Nagla Levim, we tell you them tefillah, rak samchu al metilas haShachris. They themselves are something of the washing they did in the morning. The Bach, who's the author of the famous Perish on the Tour. So he writes that he founded an old machzer in the name of the Maril. All the Ashkenazi Menachim come to the Maril at all, but most of the Ashkenazi Menachim come to the Maril. And so he writes, he founded an old machzer. There's no Levi, and Mr. Roy says that the Bechor comes, who's a Peter Rechem, first from his mother's womb to wash his hands. And that seems to have been the custom. Many reject this practice. Many do not accept this practice. There was a famous Rabbi Gadol of Chaim Ben Avisti. I think he lived in the 1600s. So he actually writes that in the Knesset HaGdola that that was the custom in Izmir and others. The Gabachayim rejects that practice. The Bechor is not involved at all with this issue of washing the hands of the Kohanim, but the Mishnah Berurah assumes that. And I saw the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that's how. Also assumes that, and that seems to be the practice. But as I said, when Nagel, Levi, or Bechor is present, then the Kohen should wash his own hands. Now, a Kohen who did not wash his hands at all, even before Shachris, is also not allowed to say Birchas Kohen. That's a Gemara. That's a Gemara in certain Bava Tess, a clear Gemara, you cannot do Birchas Kohen. Okay, next issue, removing the shoes before Bechas Kohen. So that's a good one, right?
Another question. He said, washing is not ma'akebi. That's a pretty quaint finishes happening just before it's said. Can you go after that washing?
Okay, I'm getting to that too. I will go to the discuss. I'm just trying to go the fast way there. I'm sorry?
You can't say anything. You can't wash the
shoes again.
You can't? No, you can wash the shoes. I'm saying, just be that some of you should wear all the shoes that you have to wash.
According to the Rambam Shita, in the morning, as long as you know you're not matami your hands, which is not really so difficult. Right? You didn't wash your hands. You didn't wash your hands in the morning either. Okay, that is the issue is ever come to that needs a separate shear, but that's true or not, that I'm not. It's not so posh. But certainly if you're not going, if you can't do it, that's not a posh, you can't do it. Let's get to the issue of shoes. Removing shoes before Birchas Kohen. So that we know there were 10 takonos of Echad Mezakai. This is one of the takonos of Echad Mezakai that Kohanim cannot wear shoes when they are doing it. The question is, what's the reason? So first the Gemara suggests you should cover that tzibur. Gemara rejects that. Gemara said, what's the reason? Maybe one of your shoelaces will become untied. Kind of bad. They didn't have, that's right. They didn't have slippers, crocs, I don't know, whatever, moccasins, whatever people have today. So the issue is maybe your shoelace might become torn or untied, and then you bend out the tie. Oh, people say he's a Ben Gusha. He's a kind as possible. He's a kind, obviously, that's why he's bending down. That's why he's not involved in the Bechas Kohanim. But there are two reasons, actually. Why is it that even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, a kind should remove his shoes? One reason is Derech Kavarat Tzibur. That's called Kavarat Tzibur. Rashi says over there something very striking. Rashi says when the Kohen lifts his hand, so he raises the hem of his robe. And thereby, he might be exposing his muddy shoes, which is not Kavarat Tzibur. That's not proper Derech Tzibur, that's what Rashi writes over there. And the Pashtus, the Gemara seems to have rejected that reason. The Gemara suggested maybe it should be Kavarat Tzibur. The Gemara says, no, that's not the reason. others maintain that the reason is valid, even going to the Maskana of the Gemara. But going to the second reason, as I said, we're afraid they may become untied, the shoelaces, the straps, and then he bends down in order to tie them. In such a case, people may misinterpret his actions as an attempt to avoid being part of Birchas Kohanim because he has a problem with his personal status. He's the product of a marriage that's also to a Kohen, something along those lines. People might make that kind of a mistake. Even though in general, the Chazal have a principle. That people make mistakes. But here they don't say that. The question is, why is there a chilek between the general principle and this needs another shiur? When do we have to be worried about Yisra Mekir, Hashem, and Yisrael, Tamishnim Shkolim? When do we say, Kalawaita Litas Yavam Yitah? Why by Bichas Kohanim, we don't say that? Why right away we're going to accuse someone? So, Yesh Makam Bechalim to Bichas Kohanim and everything else. That's what I would say offhand. It needs a bit of an explanation. I'm sorry.
Why didn't Sam Moshe Rabbeinu appear in the Mishnah? She was speaking to the
Kohanim. You're asking a very good question. And there, the Pasuk says that Shalom Ne'olach is found twice in Tanakh, once by Moshe Rabbeinu, once by Yeshua. So the Sinai, our Sinai certainly was Adnas Kedesh. Our Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Va'ach, the Mar Megillah. So Eila Mikdash Va'ach, Posim Mecheskel. It's not exactly, doesn't have that kind of Kedushas Makam, so Pashas, that's why I would not apply often. But as I said, these are the two other reasons that I give it. There's the whole discussion, the Shabbos, a famous talk, I deal with this, Kalei Yom Galei, since I moved there to Israel. I was running another shul, another site for 22 years, and there are a lot of Israelis who daven that shul. You know how they daven? Without socks. You know how they daven? With shorts. You know how they daven? In a very casual kind of, let's put it, a casual kind of look. So I was very makbid that you can't duchen without socks. It's not Mishnah Berurah. Now, is it the kuba? Is it ma'ake? So the Pashas, it's not Maki. Mishnah Berurah says the Talmud because it's not common to walk before Andoshim Chashuvim without socks.
Is that true?
Well done.
That's how I did it in the
Mishnah. No, it's a seven aloha. Yeah, the aloha is going to be a chatzitza. Chatzitza between the Kohanim, the feet, and the floor. Have to touch the floor of the Mishnah. And even though it was cold. So, because there they cannot be chatzitza. Here there's no Mishnah chatzitza. Here it is the Mishnah Shmahat, but Mishnah Berurah passed aloha like that. Anyway, in my former shul, so I had an office right off the side of the shul, large office, and there I carried an entire, literally haberdashery store. Socks, pants, jackets, ties, everything was necessary. I could have opened up a clothing store with it. And any Kohen that came along, many Israeli Kohanim were not part of the shul. Those who were part of the shul knew that they cannot look in my presence without socks. I wouldn't let them. And but the others, they saw the quickly situation, and they quickly went into the office in order to change their clothing to be able to look in the proper kind of way. Now, but sometimes you're not able to remove your shoes because of sickness or some other disability. And sometimes you find yourself without sufficient time, for example. Soldiers who come off into the shul who are coming, and they're wearing these army boots. What an asek to remove the army boot. So they're going to discuss, can you say b'chaz konim while wearing shoes? B'chaz hatak, yesh al l'lismo, for that as well. I mean, it could very well be that that the reason that...
Okay,
but someone goes up to the duchen, I'll discuss it separately. What does it mean, Adul Meduchen? The Kohen is standing above the tzibor. Adul Meduchen, the Paschim say, refers to three tzvachim. A duchen, just that I got to mention, someone came to me here the other day, someone who was new to the shul, and he is a Kohen, he doesn't daven here, and he asked me why we have the mats. Why are the mats over here? What's the market for a mat? So I told him the following. He was almost in his life, he never had anything like that. So one can give several reasons for the mat. Reason number one, they don't want to get their feet dirty, they want to get their socks dirty, Balabatisha reason. Zelotam, if you have news that thing. Reason number two, reason why we have a mat is because we want to line them all up together, all the mats are lined up, so they should be not just equal distance from each other, but in a row where they'll be able to somehow coordinate. Whatever has to be coordinated, and that needs usually someone with a beautiful voice like we have over here. In Kitzer, that's not the reason. I said, there's another reason. They couldn't believe that was the reason mentioned by Achreinim. Duchin is not makim. The Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, they're coming to Eru Duchin, three tvachim. But there has to be a bit of an elevation, even if it's a mashim. That's the man. That's the market for the man. He's found a biscuit chumas. He didn't believe me. I had to find the biscuit chumas in the shul to show it to him. I told him yesterday, I have this favorite joke of mine. Where's this found in the Sefer Mayim Amukim? Where's that Sefer? Right here. Anyway, so not everything has to be Yaakov Basav, Yad Hashem Allah Yiskir.
Not to
be left the best of Okay, so Enoch that's the marker actually. But the fact is, he's not in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Mikdash Ma'av, as I said a moment ago several times.
That's why we
have
the
Mokhtar. Yeah, but that's the reason for that is again, because the Isuf Chatzitza. There shouldn't be a Chatzitza between the Kohanim and the Mok and the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what they used to be. Machamelo Chamin. Remember, the people here, they're Dafyemi. I'm not as serious about them as Dafyemi as they are over here. So I'd say a Shiri or once a week on Friday. So once a week, I am serious. But anyway, Machamelo Chamin. They used to warm up these hot, because it was cold, the Beis HaMikdash. But that doesn't apply over here. There's nothing in Chatzitza. You can wear socks, because the Mishnah Berurah says not to. And I was mocking on that Mishnah Berurah. I learned Hilchos Birchas Kohanim. I teach in my yeshiva for the last, I'm not exaggerating, 21 years. Every year with Birchas Kohanim, sometimes twice a year, with all the kohanim. They can't do it in my yeshiva unless they come to the course in Birchas Kohanim. So that I do, by the way, at 10 to 9. That's why I have to run like a maniac from here to get to Shalayim and Yifit Sadeh every single day. It's not simple, not partial at all. I really need a helicopter. So yeah, I saw the other day that, I forgot which of those, a drone is fine, but I prefer a helicopter. More comfortable. Kind of surrounding. What? No, they have that day where everybody was having Yom Kippur, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Shalayim. The Air Force goes into action. That must cost $7 million. They can provide me a helicopter too to get to Shalayim. Anyway, but some say the reason for the that suggested by the Gemara, they only apply to a kohen who literally ascends a duchen, who goes up on a platform, which is above the tzibur. However, if the tzibur cannot see the feet of a kohen who's standing on their level, so therefore the takana of zakai perhaps doesn't apply. That's what Rav Avadya Zatzal suggests in Chavadas. I think he also has the tshuva of Valdenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer, also along those lines. And those, these kohanim should preferably wear shoes not made from leather without straps or laces. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that was Moshe, in the second chelik, he writes that if people know what the status of this kohen is, he has a particular disability, so it could be all the reasons of the Gemara do not apply. So yeah, shall be listening off in all these situations. But I was very machmir. The socks, boy, Kohanim, these Israeli Kohanim couldn't get past me. And one of them said, then once happened, this happened, the Maaser Shoyer, I was really put up against a very difficult situation. A Kohen arrives. He was a Kohen also. And he had yard side. He had yard side that day. And he comes with shorts. And he's going down to the oven in shorts. Not on my watch. That's not a question. Under no circumstances. So he was, and then he got very emotional. It was an emotional thing, the yard side. And then there was this, I told him, listen, I have all the haberdashery in my office. Everything is there. Socks, all dressing room, right? You can, no problem whatsoever. And actually, I he might have kept no svarim in that room. I had a shy look at the often people came to change. I became a change room in my office over there. But I had, it was clean, so everything, I'm machmer and everything. So, risk is a very machmer in every single area. I mean, tzad mishal shal alofa. So anyway, so the problem was that day, several other Kohanim came that way and they already beat him. And they already took all the clothing. How many sets of clothing do I have to put the sex? So I was really in a. And he started crying that he couldn't have him. So I said to myself, what am I going to do? So I passed him, very rare for me to issue such a psak. The Gemara speaks about a pocheach, like Rav Gilad. Pocheach is someone who is essentially exposed. So I took the largest talus I had in the shul. I wrapped the talus around him entirely. This talus went around him two or three times. And I tied the talus with a gargoyle around him. People in the shul thought that the Rav had just And I let him daven for the Omrim, and he was in such a state of simcha, and he agreed to keep that gadol and the talis the entire time. And I told him, otherwise, he covered everything. Mamish, mikaf regal, arosh, ein bam mesay, as the Navi says. Navi speaks about petza, makar b'chavura tria, lo zeh lo chabashu lo rucha b'shamen. It wasn't that far, but I covered it entirely from top to toe. And they got such a, the photographers came to take the heaven shul, to take the picture of this guy. I happen to have a copy of the picture, but I put it in the cherem. So then I asked, I go to Nevetzol, what about that sock? He started laughing at Nevetzol. Then he told me, he says, you have yesh lecha avdei v'chush v'umar b'futach v'od, avan shoev v'alocha, ha'im nahakti nachom? 100%. V'shas v'atak, 100%. אבל לא הייתי מציע דבר כזה לחתינה, ברור שזה לא לחתינה. אבל המצב היה פשוט אין לי ביגוד. זה ספר מעל, אני לא קוראים לך למה היה הקדש של היסטוריה. מה קוראים היסטוריה, מה זה ספוס לדעת? So what I was going to do is I would give my jacket and I would dive it with the talus, etc. But it wasn't going to help me, but I wasn't going to give my...
Yes.
I was even thinking of davening myself via chidus or going elsewhere to another minion and giving him my clothing and not to be able to that after the kacha makri of the summer. Okay, I don't know what the bidarim anymore are. There's a man in a different room, shana bachim, shana mazal. So I don't have any concept of time. And baruch Hashem, here there are no clocks. Do I have a watch? But usually it's not working. I'll just mention one more din about the duchim, if I can. That's all. I'll end with that because we have the Kohen HaGolim Echa arrived at the scene, so I should be polite to his orchid. I do my mitzvahs and let's do Shabbos. And I met, probably I know, close to 20 of my grandchildren, all different ages. And we came to Maskana that I come from a different generation. And it requires too much of that, much of a chiddush. And one of them, who knows the shtickel, was read a little bit. So he told me, he did not say it in English, he said in Hebrew, I am pre-Neanderthal man. So, every single...
It's a compliment.
That's how I saw it. Oh, Baruch Shekibanti. Thank you. Baruch Shekibanti. They have a totally different value system than I have. These are all fine young men and young women. I don't know what world they come from. I don't get it. So what did I proceed to do? I had one occasion, we were in Hebrew, so the English is not their language. So I then proceeded to give them Atafat Musak in the middle of one of the meals. And they were stuck there. They were waiting for all the treats and all the other kind of right. I was going to come out, so I told them whoever was involved, my children, don't give it out until I finish what I have to say. And I'm long-winded. I'm not a short-winded fellow. And they heard such Atafat Musar on every single erech of mine. And then one of them said, Zaidi, and I said, I'll get Mashiva, Masha, Zaidi Yama. And it was wrong, Shayna and Shia. That's what he had to say. And then each one had to say, etc. All their comments focused. Anyway, so I'll just mention one thing about the Duchin. The Duchin is based on a pasuk of Chumash. The Gemara actually writes this in Seita. I will just read you. I'm going to read all the Gemara because I Xerox all the Gemara, but it's not necessary. The Gemara speaks about a duchen. It's not ma'ake. I was many years ago in Shabbat HaKotel in 1971. I remember from 71. When I was in Shabbat HaKotel, so I saw the duchen was not enough to handle all the kohanim. The svadim all oil the duchen, all the svadim shekohanim. And the ashkenazim remained on the floor. So then I came to Maskana, the svadim are more makbid on this issue. It's not ma'ake. Certainly not indispensable. The Birchas Kohanim implies even without duchen, but there is a concept of duchen. And so now I've just made one or two items. The Gemara says here, on the Chesem of Bez, I'm sure Malavi, I'll just translate it, that it says the Kohen is not Sheino Oile. Ba'avoida cannot be Oive, cannot ascend later on. I'm talking to Pasha Shemini, I'm skipping the whole Gemara over here. Means you have to begin your ascent, is that the proper term, during Ritzeh, or your journey has to begin during the Ritzeh. And the Achronim question, what exactly the limit is? What's the limit? While the Shi'at Tzibur is still reciting the Ritzeh, or while the Tzibur is in the process of entering Amen, or maybe even afterwards, as long as the Shi'at Tzibur has not begun the next Bracha Moedim, it's still within the bounds, still within the So what should a kohen do? And this kohen asks me all the time in the yeshiva, where I sometimes daven very rarely, but there, so the Shemoneh Esrei is pretty quick relative to a shul called Beis Tefila, which is twice as long as the Shemoneh Esrei over there. And the reason is they don't want their young talmidim, they don't want them to be alienated. I don't understand that alienation.
They don't daven with Rus together?
Of course they do. Rus also davens pretty quickly.
Really?
And they don't like long davening. They have now a slichas, they say, which is a taktsir of slichas. That's what Agoy Abdavid Miller introduced, a taktsir of slichas. So I told Abdavid Miller, other Mizorka's nation. What is this taktsir business? What abbreviated? We abbreviate Barer, we abbreviate Bishon, we abbreviate other Shabbos, we abbreviate Tvila. I don't understand it. So he told me, as my grandchildren told me, you and I are from a different door. Again, Nochamal, everything, that's the answer, they have to everything, but from a different door. So that's the justification for all this. So the power of offering Kohanim, the Shemoneh Esrei, runs longer. And now they don't have time to wash their hands, as we mentioned, what the Bracha would say. So what do? So the Pisgei Teshuvos in that Sefer, which is really an amazing anthology, an unbelievable collection that this fellow, Rabbi Avinu, was put together. He said the Kohen should walk quickly to the washing basin, to that area, pass it in the general direction of the Duchen, and then return to the basin. Now, that kind of gesture is called Ki'ilu. He's already on his way towards the Duchen. But he's trying to indicate that there's to be some movement. As long as there's some movement in a forward direction towards the area we're going to wash, that's sufficient as far as this halacha of ascending.
Is the washing not the duchen?
Okay, so that's the question. So is it towards the duchen? Is it towards the washing basin? So there are different opinions. The Hashulman says even if you move towards the washing, there it's on the side, actually, the outside of the Beis HaMedrash. So even if you walk towards it, that's also a proper ascent with the Eved, because washing is part of the hachadah of the mitzvah. And a kohen who does something, but this man is bechas kohen. Now, the real question is, I thought you were referring to this, kohen modavi Shemoneh Esrei. It's known as Sam Shemoneh Esrei, very, very often. And so what do? So there's a psak of the mechaber. He writes it here. Mechaber says here, I think it's over here in the Kutab Test. Kohen shelo esbal adayim. He's in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So the Mechaber passed in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. What does he do? He can participate in Birchas Kohanim. Means he stops in Shemoneh Esrei, goes to Birchas Kohanim, and then goes back to Shemoneh Esrei on the rebound when he comes back. I mean, the same thing applies in the middle of Kriyat Shema. What? Yes, yes. Now, what is the general? Is it Tzerech? For example, let's say a baby is crying. And the baby, you try to shush the baby the way people like to do with all kinds of gesticulations and I don't know what, and making faces and who knows what. At the end of the day, you can't shush the baby. So then you have to go and pick up the baby and you're allowed to do so. That's a tzorach hatzvila. Well, for that matter, let's say a person thinks he's davening by heart. And then he realizes he doesn't know the Shemoneh Esrei by heart. And then he has to go to the Aron HaSoan to get a sim. He's allowed to go to the Aron HaSoan and get a sim. He was talking about kohanim in the middle of Birchas Kriyat Shema. And now they're up to Birchas Kohanim. He should try to finish that parak. At least to finish an inyan, that's what he should try to do. He's unable to finish the parak of Birchas Kohanim, he should still join the Kohanim. Because there's no, it's no worse stopping the Birchas Kohanim than a person who is, as the Mishnah said, now covered. It's allowed to be mafsik now covered, which is allowed. So let's see what about Pesuk D'Zimra, that's for sure. You can be mafsik on Pesuk D'Zimra, no question about it. That also happens quite often. That so you can participate in Birchas Kohanim. But again, the key is that you have to move, God would say. No matter whatever you are, the movement has to begin with Ritzei, otherwise you'll not be able to duchen, and you have to leave. You have to leave the Esakneses. Now, I just mentioned that what about if a person, as a result of participating in Birchas Kohanim, you'll miss some time. Parts of the world, even in Ramat Beit Shemesh, over here, where that happens. I was told by some of the people I don't travel over there, so I would not know. But I find 8:15, like the middle of the day. I don't know, down to 8:15, down to 8:30, that was 9 o'clock. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon for me. But anyway, so if you ask me what time that is, the time 12 o'clock is open in the afternoon. The Mishnah actually says over here, he writes in Kuzayim, that if you see by you are Mishnatim Ben Latonim, you're going to miss Mantilah. So then you should walk out and daven and not participate in Ben Latonim. Now, the problem is, however, let's say they already announced Ritzay, there's already there was a Hasmana, there was someone ready to Birchas Kohanim, and by not joining, you'll be Oven Issa Daraisa, and then the Pashas, the Iser, or the Din Daraisa Birchas Kohanim, the Pashas offhand, it seems to be, should override the Issa Rabbanan of reciting Shemoneh Esrei after this Zman Tefillah. Mr. Brewer actually says over here, I just mentioned Mr. Brewer, Mr. Brewer says here, the person has already been called Ritzay, and he prayed that by doing so, he'll miss the latest time the wrong Zvi Kureshma, that's the Din Daraisa. So let him say one pasuk of Kureshma. And many contend, not much, does that one person did the Isa, based on the more of the second paragraph of prophets. You can fill the bits by saying, I'm the first of the first and the second paragraph of the Shema. And certainly, as much as possible, voice the in the side of the problem of Bichas Kohanim. What about again, in the middle of Yom Shemoneh Esrei? So that's a famous Jew with Radvaz. Radvaz writes in the Jew, but you're the only Kohen in the Shul. This happens quite often. The halacha is that without him, they won't have Bichas Kohanim. You should go and be Masik Shemoneh Esrei, say Bichas Kohanim, and then go back to your place. And finish your Shemoneh Esrei. That's a psak of the Radvaz. And if there are other Kohanim there, then you should not do so. But again, the Magen Avraham here, he agrees. He says that even though if there are other Kohanim, if you're summoned, then you have to do so. And there's a Machlokes HaPoskim, the little Rabba, his Cholakad. He contends, he questions, even one who's summoned to interrupt the Shemoneh Esrei in order to be part of the Haskohanim. In the Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Vav, the quotes of Yaakov Emet, he agrees. He says that Kohanim should not interrupt the Tefillah, unless you're by Sim Shalom. If you're right there in the Bechas Kohanim section, then you're allowed to go ahead and drop the Tefillah. And okay, so in summary, it seems that only one who began moving towards the Duchin during Ritzay, and he himself finished Modim, so he should go ahead and participate in Bechas Kohanim in the middle of his own Tefillah. And again, you saw Bechas Kohanim that you did in the morning, so you have to go and wash your hands again. But again, if someone interrupts the Shemoneh Esrei in order to recite Bechas Kohanim, should make sure they should wash their hands before Kriyat Shema and go near the place where the Kohanim say the bracha to minimize whatever interruption they might have to engage in. The other Kohanim said, then you should go outside. Other Kohanim will take care of the problem. And therefore, because Mishnah Berurah actually, again, in deference to his opinion, he requires him to go ahead and ascend. Yeah.
But the Kohanim that is calling the Shemaster shouldn't wait there at the time to go back.
I think you should wait for the Kaddish, the Pashas, that's what I would say. Only because of what I mentioned the other day, that the often can do not, I actually spoke about it after they already left. Because of the Asher Kayach, I'm not going to be Asher Kayach, but gone. I'm not the only one left in the city. Anyway, so people take it for granted. They don't appreciate the Rav of Kayach. My father, Shalom, was very knocked about it, and so we know yourself. Knocked about it in the Chutzaritz. And we only have it there, what, 5 times a year, 6 times a year, not too often. My father felt that they are worthy. And I mentioned this, I said a shiur about this already once, maybe I could say a few more shiur on the topic. I was going to talk about the spend on Shabbos and Nassau, but I have a shalom bayi session with the shul, and the couple was there that decided to address that issue. And they asked me afterwards, both of them came over to me, came actually to my house, after they got. They asked me, did you have us in mind? So I answered in my typical fashion, if the shoe fits, wear it. Anyway, so they said, what does that mean? They didn't understand that expression. Okay, believe me, there, I will tomorrow continue on some other aspects of Bechas Kohanim with your Rosh Hashanah. Thank you for coming. Hashem should bless you.